This is KYUK Public Radio for the Yukon-Kuskokwim Delta. I'm Christy Schallenberger. Bethel police have taken a teenager into custody after charging him with stabbing an adult. The domestic violence incident occurred in the early morning hours on Tuesday at a home in Weavick subdivision. Bethel Police Sergeant Justin Cash investigated the case.
We had a report of a 34-year-old male that had a wound to his chest area, and a 14-year-old male was taken into custody.
The victim was medevaced to the Alaska Native Medical Center in Anchorage, and the suspect is being held at the Bethel Youth Facility. Officers with the Alaska Bureau of Investigation flew to Bethel the same day the stabbing occurred to help Bethel police investigate the scene. The investigation is ongoing, and because the suspect is a minor, no other information has been released. And in census news, rural Alaskans are expressing concerns with the counting process as the 2020 census begins in Tuksuk Bay next month. Some fear there will be repercussions if they share details about their cramped living conditions, but census leaders say accurate data could reduce overcrowding throughout the state. KNOM's Davis Hovey reports.
The census has failed Alaska. We're multi-general households. If they're only counting one, they're not getting an accurate count. We have overcrowded schools, no funding for that. There's no access to housing.
During this year's AFN convention, Tricia Coleman from the native village of Aklutna voiced her concerns at a breakout session focused on the 2020 census. She questioned the panelists from the U.S. Census Bureau on how they intended to ensure the upcoming count would be done correctly and accurately. Donna Bach, tribal partnership specialist for the census, addressed some of Coleman's concerns. She agreed that the overcrowding issue is a reason to justify accurately counting Alaskans, not to discourage it.
I think it's common in a lot of households, not just in rural Alaska, to have multi-generational homes. And the emphasis, I think, should be on essentially ensuring that every resident gets counted that resides in that household.
As Coleman said before, she believes that multiple generations living in each household leads to overcrowded conditions, and this indicates a failure of the census to count how many people actually live in each house across rural Alaska. Coleman told the panel at AFN that her and her children were not even counted during the 2010 census.
Because of the past generations where they would ignore us as Native people, there's going to be a lot of animosity and a lot of hesitation. But the only way we can move forward at this time is if we make them count us. If we make them count the kids, the nephews and nieces that live with us. Because the only way to ensure they have a better future is to ensure that they have access to things we don't have.
Potentially, Coleman hopes a future without overcrowded living conditions. For the Bering Strait region alone, the latest report from the Alaska Housing Finance Corporation found that 27% of housing units are either overcrowded or severely overcrowded. According to AHFC, this rate is more than 8 times the national average and the third most overcrowded region in the state. Former CEO and president of Bering Strait's Regional Housing Authority, Chris Kolarok, said BSRHA has been given other striking data.
In the Bering Straits outside of Nome, the overcrowding rate is 37%. 19% of that are homes being classified as severely overcrowded. And during community meetings, we have been confronted with the heartbreaking stories of 21 people sharing a small 3-bedroom home.
The 2018 Alaska Housing Assessment from AHFC also says the state needs 16,000 housing units to be built in order to alleviate overcrowding. According to Bach, the 2020 census data can provide information to support a solution to the lack of housing in Alaska.
It helps inform what the crowded issue is to possibly help inform those housing authorities to say, we are over capacity. There is a lack of housing. There is a lack of low-income housing that is not meeting the population that we need to build and plan for 10 years in advance. And so that snapshot in time is extremely informative and important.
Bach says the more than 320 federal programs that benefit Alaska, including housing development, all rely on accurate census data.
I think of bypass mail for aviation industry in Alaska. I think of free and reduced lunch programs. I think of, migrant ed funding, SNAP, TANF, Medicaid.
According to Bach, Alaska receives $3.2 billion in federal funding each year, and any sort of undercount in the upcoming census would mean losing some of that money. Reporting in Nome, I'm Davis Hovey.
And finally, Santa delivered presents to Napakiak a little early this year. And instead of flying reindeer, he arrived in a Black Hawk helicopter. Sergeant First Class Nicholas Mikos is waiting for the Black Hawk helicopter to land outside the National Guard hangar in Bethel. The sun is just peeking over the horizon at 10 in the morning, but everyone has been up much earlier.
Santa, how do you feel?
I feel great.
The sergeant has played Santa Claus before in the Alaska National Guard's Operation Santa. It's a tradition that dates back to 1956. Each year, the National Guard flies to small, remote Alaskan communities off the road system, bringing presents, ice cream, and Santa. Napakiak was the second village this year. Santa visited Tuntutuliak a week earlier.
Checking IDs?
Yeah. Yes, Principal's office is right here.
Mikos and about 20 other volunteers are setting up the gym at the Napakiak school with bags featuring characters from the Disney movie Frozen, which are for babies and toddlers. Older students receive backpacks filled with snacks, toothbrushes, and school supplies. The adults are not left out. They get cheerfully colored hats knitted by women in Florida. When everything is ready, the children file in to sit in the middle of the gym floor. And then the big moment.
Look who's showing up!
Hey, everyone!
It's Santa. While some kids and their parents line up to talk to him, others line up for ice cream.
Do you like chocolate or caramel on top?
Not everyone knew Santa was coming to Napakiak. Tricia White saw the Black Hawk helicopter circling the village earlier in the morning.
We didn't know what was going on.
So she and her partner Jonathan Nelson called around and realized it was Santa.
A couple hours later, we found out everyone was here.
So they brought their daughter to share in the fun. Meanwhile, 16-year-old Natalia is admiring her new backpack.
Oh, I got a free backpack that says Peace Frogs. And it's purple.
Natalia hopes Santa will come back again.
Yeah, I hope it happens because it's like a community activity that's pretty cool, and not this many people always go to activities.
For many kids, this was their first time at Operation Santa. And for Major General Torrance Sachs, who is Commissioner of the Department of Military and Veterans Affairs, it was his first time too.
I haven't seen kids that excited about Santa in a long time.
He doled out the cherries for the ice cream line, and he has a pretty good idea of the favorite toppings.
I'm going to say chocolate with sprinkles and one cherry. I only had two people in the entire room that did not want a cherry.
2 hours later, it's over. Everyone packs up, loads the Black Hawk, and takes off. Reporting from Napakiak, I'm Christy Schallenberger. This is KYUK News. Thanks for listening. I'm Christy Schallenberger. Send your tips and comments to news@kyuk.org and stay tuned for Yukden News coming up.